will be no going back to second-class citizenship and no return to Stormont rule. Irish Republicans are prepared to do business now with the British government and with the Unionists without preconditions, without qualification and without delay. We are prepared to meet, to discuss and to reach agreement, to come to a democratic accommodation with Unionism. But we are not prepared to pander to bigotry or to outdated concepts of Irish supremacy or to Unionist domination. We are not prepared to tolerate triumphalism and sectarianism, and we will not be reconciled to the burning of churches and schools and to the denial of civil and religious liberties. And we make no apologies for this. We make no apologies for our commitment and for our efforts to create a new political culture throughout this entire island. We stand for equality. We make no apologies for wanting an end to British rule in our country and a new arrangement and agreement between all the people of this island. I want to speak directly to the Unionists. Some Unionists say that we do not comprehend or appreciate the effects of the last 25 years on them. We do, or at least some of us do, and all of us are trying to reach out and to understand, because we who have suffered do understand their sense of hurt also. And when Irish Republicans talk about British interference in the British presence, we do not mean the Unionist section of our people. We want to make peace with the Unionists, to work with the Unionists, so that when we collectively reach the end of our journey, we will be able to accommodate and celebrate our diversity as equals. And today, and for some time, through an ongoing dialogue with members of the Northern Protestant and Unionist community, we're trying to develop a much better understanding of the political analysis that represents the bedrock of their thinking. And many important insights have emerged from this dialogue which will help us to see Unionism in its totality, and which gives us some sense of what is going on inside that section of our people. From their point of view, the erosion of their political power base since the late 1960s, their belief that they have given a lot and received nothing, their deep mistrust of the British, and their perception of an all-powerful nationalist agenda are the elements of a deepening crisis within the Unionist section of our people. Not an inch. What we have, we hold, and no surrender are more than ever the anchors of the Unionist leadership's political philosophy. And on the surface, David Trimble and Ian Paisley seem unable and unwilling to move away from their top dog mentality. But the truth is, they are paralysed by the idea of real talks. They are frightened of the notion of honest talks. They are scared of negotiating. They are afraid that that means them negotiating themselves out of existence. They are afraid of change. And we need to be concerned with what's happening inside Unionism, because it's not in the national interest that the Unionists remain trapped inside a siege mentality. We must make every effort to ensure that the Northern Protestant and Unionist section of our people are not forced to occupy that political space which we wish to escape from. That being marginalised, abandoned and disempowered was bad for us, then it is bad also for the Unionists. And giving up on the Unionists is not an option for us. Bypassing the Unionists is not an option for us. Our option is for dialogue and engagement. And we recognise there will be no peace in Ireland if Unionists are not a part in shaping that peace. Therefore, Sinn Féin's heartfelt wish is for a Unionism that is capable of shaping its future inside a negotiating process based upon equality. Our wish is to reach an accommodation with Unionism. And it won't be easy. The road ahead will be difficult and dangerous and risky for all of us. But working together, I am convinced that we can succeed. It is my conviction that we will have a peace settlement, that we are resilient, that we dig deep. It's my conviction that we will overcome all obstacles. We have suffered. We have suffered over the generations. We have lost loved ones. We have lost friends and neighbours. I can think of many of our loved ones. So can all of you. We heard today of Dublin activist Daisy Whelan. I think of our friend, our Tony member, Councillor Pat McGill, who died tragically last October. Pat Young was described in death, even by the unionists, as a bridge builder. Pat came through the raw edge of this struggle, never ever recriminated. And we must learn to do that. We must learn the lessons of the past, never to recriminate. For as William Butler Yeats said, we need not feel the bitterness of the past to discover its meaning for the present and the future. So I believe that we can put the anguish of the past behind us. I believe we can heal the wounds. I believe we need to forgive. We do not need necessarily to forget. And of course, dialogue is a two-way street. We actively listen, but we also seek to inform. So unionists need to see that Irish nationalists and Republicans are forced to live in a British statelet which keeps us as second-class citizens. A statelet which for all of its existence has accorded the Orange Men the right to march through nationalist areas and triumphalistic coat-trailing and sectarian parades. There are lots of recent reminders that the ethos which feeds this is not confined to the street or to working-class loyalists. It permeates through the institutions of the six counties. These institutions remain faithful to Brookborough's suffocating structure. Today, the six counties are still run by unionists, for unionists, and policed by unionists, for unionists. But those there, brothers and sisters, are numbered.